too quick into it.
Okay. All right. 3, 2, 1. Rolling.
What's up, everybody?
This is the Late Night Motor Club
podcast, the only podcast you care about. What's up? My name's Alex.
I'm Steven.
I'm Tyler.
We're going to talk about some car stuff today and kind of introduce you to this little new show we got here.
This podcast is everything and all things cars. In particular, it relates to our story, our upbringings into the car community, and our opinions.
Our kind of learned outlooks on this whole scene and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Any information that kind of we could give based off past experiences, things we've learned over the years, as well as kind of just shooting different inputs between all three of us, given that we're very diverse in terms of how we came into the community, as well as the cars we've built overall, and then things we've learned.
Also, we'll be covering current events that are actively happening in the car scene. And huge disclaimer to everybody out here watching.
Don't take anything we say that serious. It is not that serious.
Yes.
We're having fun. If it's a joke, it's a joke.
We don't mean to hurt anybody's feelings. So, with that.
These are all opinions, just like the rest of the car scene.
Yeah. You ready to dive right into this? That's you ready to tell them who we are?
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm down.
Cool. So, what's up, everybody? Yeah.
Okay.
What's up, everybody? I'm Tyler at Tyler Cordura on Instagram, YouTube, TikTok. That's where you guys can find me if you guys recognize me. I love you guys. I've been in the car scene for almost 10 years now. I've built multiple cars. I've built multiple platforms. I've sold parts in the automotive space. And that's a little bit of my background. What cars did you build?
You built the Mustang.
I built a 98 Mustang GT. I built a 2012 Hyundai Genesis Coupe. And now I have a 2012 Cayman.
The come up. What about you, Steven?
So my name's Steven. In terms of my social medias, kind of go by typical Steven. And then overall, just got into the car community kind of back when I was growing up. Got my first car. It was my Volkswagen GTI, which you guys kind of might know now. It's still my main project. This is the car that I've just built over the years. I took it to SEMA, built pretty much rebuilding it again for SEMA again. And then overall, just an enthusiast in the car community. And then also have a brand that is mental health focused in terms of bringing awareness and positivity to the automotive community. And then overall, just doing cool things.
Yeah, we need that positivity.
Yeah. Yeah, we definitely need. You know what I hate about Steven? I love Steven, but you know what I hate about Steven?
Where's this going?
Oh no.
Steven is always so well spoken about his accolades and accomplishments, and I feel like I always just kind of graze the surface of things that I've done, and then he comes right up and makes me feel like, man.
Well, he's the only one who's been to SEMA, so.
Yeah, he is the only one who's been to SEMA. So I guess he's the only one who's actually built something that matters.
Kind of, yeah.
Okay, Alex.
I'm Alex Burley, a.k.a. Dead On. That's my company that I run, kind of automotive video, automotive art, products, kind of just trying to put my style out there, along with building some cars along the way, like Genesis, RC350, and now an LC500, which I'm super excited to get going here soon. But yeah, I've been into cars since, I don't know, since I could walk, since Need for Speed Underground 2 on GameCube, dude.
I love that game, dude. Yeah, it's the greatest thing.
It's been a while, so I've been around this stuff for a hot minute, originally from Virginia, a little bit different car scene over there, coming over here. But our credibility.
Yeah. All three of us have done, I would say, I'm not going to say we're all clouded up and doing all these crazy things, but we have a lot of experience, I would say, in the automotive community, and we come from very drastically different backgrounds and kind of ended up in the same space. And I think we all kind of had the same opinion and the same values in the car scene from a different perspective.
Yeah, from
different subsections. Just based off that, how you kind of just mentioned it a little bit, you coming from Virginia and the community over there being, I would say, completely different to where it is here in Southern California.
Yeah, so you want to jump into that? We can kind of explain how you got started, and then we'll let everybody know how we started off.
So back in, 2012, 2013, when I actually started going to meets and stuff, The car scene out east is way different, way, way, way smaller. Obviously, it's grown by today's standards, but yeah, it's a little bit more community driven because you're kind of forced to have to come together to make stuff happen there. Unlike here's like huge names, events everywhere, all that kind of stuff. But I definitely would say moving out here was the right move for car stuff since it's all out here. Yeah, I started building my Genesis in 2013 when I got it, BK1, and then kind of went through that process, did some YouTube stuff back then, wanted to do Vine but completely missed it. Now I'm on TikTok, shout out. But yeah, just trying to do some creative stuff in the social media space around cars, make some art, make some fun stuff.
And question for you, given that the scene was kind of, I would say, smaller, mm-hmm. You would say in Virginia in comparison to, let's say, Southern California,
yeah.
Would you say that it was more enthusiast-based, people are kind of taking care of each other in terms of the community, or was it was kind of spotty between the people?
That's where it gets like a little tricky to like say 100%, just because like I would argue that it was more enthusiast based, but also I saw more of that scene without the internet. So it was more like, obviously every scene was more enthusiast based before the internet, because yeah, we all know what happens. But
that's a big point, because at that time social media wasn't really that much of a thing. Mm-hmm, right. It was kind of like
the only way you knew people was because
like forums and stuff, yeah. And then going to meets here and there.
It was, and you found out about the meets because your homie texted you.
Hey, there's this.
Yeah, there's Kato's this weekend. Whatever. Blah,
you
want
to try and go? Yeah.
Exactly. There wasn't like Instagram post with 50,000 likes show up and there's helicopters shutting it down already.
Out here,
it gets nuts compared to out there.
You know, it's crazy. Before the whole social media thing, and like we'll say how it is now to find access to where meets are, I would say the California scene, coming up in California, born and raised, the scene that I was introduced into when I first started going, that's like kind of how it was from the get-go. You'd go show up to a meet. Sometimes they would get a little unruly and a lot larger than you expected, and you'd have helicopters, police.
Dude, that was like my first meet here. I was so confused because people I met a while ago here invited me, blah, 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 long story. But they were like, oh, come out to Krispy Kreme Tuesdays. It's a huge meet. Oh, and in my head, I was like, this is my first SoCal meet. My car's not even here yet. I'll go. I literally made an entire vlog about how I didn't understand anything that was going on because I've never seen like takeover stuff before. I didn't know how to act to that. And I was like,
But you were, regardless of your opinion on that type of meet, you were part of history.
Part of something.
Yeah, part of something. Now, I had a question for you, Alex. Being from Virginia and that the car scene is super small there, what advice would you have for somebody coming into the car scene today, now? With a smaller based like car scene access, like how do you get involved?
I would say it's a tricky question, but I would say the easiest way to get involved is just try to meet friends that like you genuinely get along with and that you'll end up building your cars kind of together. You'll always have that like steady group of homies that you hang out with, go to meets. Those are going to be the people that like help you
grow
because if you don't try to find your community first before going in, you'll a lot of the times end up, you know, walking around kind of aimlessly, I guess.
Finding those people where they care about you and they just want to hang out with you regardless of
homies
kind of what you
help.
Drive
I love the gotta talk about this super short real quick.
Okay,
huge difference between East Coast versus West Coast. My favorite thing on the East Coast was like everybody was always super down to help you work on your car. But over there, someone helping you work on your car is literally like, I'm underneath the Genesis and four dudes are off to the side, just like on their phone.
Laughing.
If I need a wrench, they hand it to me. That's the extent. Over here, I found like, it's like, oh, you want to come help work on my car? And then you go over there and you're expected to do half the build. And you're like, I'm just not used to it. But That's a whole nother thing.
Yeah, I find it two ways actually here. I think this can be quick. I'll have like something short, sweet to say. I find it kind of half and half here where it's like you get there and people expect to do half the build. Or when they say, hey, do you want to come over and build a car? They expect that you're just going to do it. And I'm going to...
Look, you invite me to help you build something, I'm coming to hang out.
Yeah.
That's it. I'll help, but I ain't doing it.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay, they, Steve. I think we kind of. Oh, sorry. What were you gonna say? I don't mean to cut you off.
Oh no, I'm rude.
Yeah. No. So yeah. Based off the community talk, where it's like how you said you, given that both of us have grown up in Southern California,
right?
Got into the community right here in Southern California. You jumped kind of right into kind of the car scene side.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't as much. I started off more so in the VW Audi kind of enthusiast community. And what I mean by that, kind of just local VW Audi meets, OCVW. And that was kind of the basis for a good minute. And it's something where that group was very enthusiast based. The people care. It was just really just talking and just hanging out no matter what car you drove. Some people didn't even have a Volkswagen or Audi, but they came out and talked because they enjoy Volkswagen and Audis.
Was that like a little bit more older of a crowd?
It was a little bit more older, where it wasn't as much teenagers. Like, gotcha. Let's say it was like people in between 30s and 40s or mm-hmm. late 20s. And there were, like, let's say myself.
You.
Like I was 16 years old, 17 years old.
Yeah.
Exactly.
What I will give credit to your Volkswagen community, when I was coming up, I actually had a lot of friends in high school. There are three main friends that I had in high school that all three of them had Volkswagens. And so this kind of got me also super into cars, kind of when I talked about initially with you guys. One of the first cars I wanted to get before I got the Mustang was a GTI, and that was influenced by them. And what I definitely noticed is their group of friends when they would hang out at a show was much more diverse in the sense of like age gap and people being supportive. Yeah, whereas the group that I got into, like the JDM side, even
all
though I was
younger guys.
Is all kids.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
Definitely. No, and that was definitely cool experiencing that. And like a 16-year-old kid talking with somebody that's, let's say, 33 and has experienced so much, because at 16, fresh into the car community, fresh into having a my first car ultimately, and talking with somebody twice my age who's gone through 20 years of owning a car, experiencing it, working on it, it definitely helps. And especially when they're genuine about talking with you about those topics,
right?
It's huge. Right now, I feel like if you go too much into the car scene aspect of things, it's not much about help or anything like that.
Definitely, I know. I don't think the car scene today, when you go into like the meat side, mm-hmm. People are not there to talk about like how they built things today.
Oh,
which,
hell no.
Which is like, honestly, it's that has been a drastic change.
All it is you're walking around looking at other people's builds. It's like a parking lot where it's 20 cars and you're not even looking at the cars. Because those are the meets that I honestly love and remember going to, are the meets where it's like, you're not even looking at each other's cars.
Dude, the best meets I ever went to in Virginia, shout out Alex, shout out Ryan, shout out all the Midlothian homies, but we would literally just like four cars, empty ass parking lot till 1 a.m. We didn't do anything but sit there and just hang out. That was the best time ever.
Yeah. Dude, and you know what? Honestly, I'm going to have to give a shameless shout out over here to our buddies Origins, because honestly, I used to go to their meet so long. When you first came out to California, Alex, we went to Origins. I don't know if I took you to one or not, but
I went to a few. They were sick.
And they were very small. And they were in
they
the
were
freaking
a lot
the
smaller.
Best Buy parking lot.
Yeah.
And you were literally chilling with like at max maybe 20 people.
Yeah.
And you're sitting there talking about builds and people were like, "All right, dude, I'll see you next week."
Those are the times that when I'm mentioning like how I remember those types of meets, that was the time that I remember. And knowing Chris Origins from when he kind of started that meet, even before that, like his car club that he had and everything, seeing him grow into what he is today as a person, and same as Moises as well.
Right.
The whole Origins crew, awesome dudes, genuine dudes, and they've grown something into something
which huge. Is awesome. Huge shout out to them. I'm like super proud of you guys for growing that. But
with that community side, it's definitely very dynamic in the sense in terms of enthusiast versus scene versus just there's a bunch of random in between.
Yeah. See, my little Origins Chris guy is like, I was David Patterson and Kato's. That was like our local thing. And then it grew. It did grow. Like it ended up growing a ton. And then, you know, cops got involved and went downhill pretty fast. But
Well, so we kind of sidetracked a little bit about talking about meets and everything like that and getting involved.
Yeah, we talked
about how Steven, we talked about how Alex.
How did you get in?
How I got in. I was going to parlay it off to Steven. Okay. How'd Steven get in?
How did you?
You're in the hot seat, Steven.
Well, he's talked about going in the purest.
Yeah.
All right, fine.
Yeah.
It's your turn.
So, the way that I started off getting into the car community, actually, I didn't have like family members or anybody who was into it. It was really based around the friend group that I had in high school. One of the friends that I had grown up with since I was like 4 years old, he ended up getting an Infiniti G35, slammed it to the ground on some Varstoans that looked like TE37s. And this was the age where we were absolutely
stoked
yeah. on this thing and thought it just looked absolutely amazing. We were influenced by Stance Nation, Fatlace, Illis, and at this time we were like, bro, there's no way Stance Nation isn't going to DM you and ask you to be a part of be like a cover of one of their shoots.
Oh, yeah. That's how it definitely works.
Yeah.
And we all thought those things. That was fun.
Oh, 100%. Oh, yeah. And so at that time, I really didn't have much access to a whole bunch of people building cars. It was kind of like I said, a bunch of us kids like feeding off of each other. Mm-hmm. And at the time, my buddies had Volkswagens. One had a Jetta. Two of them had Jettas. One of them had a GTI. And then the other one, like I said, my buddy had that Infiniti G35, whereas I had this 98 Mustang. All signs pointed towards me to like not do any of the Stance Boy things that everybody else was doing. But I did it anyways. I slammed my 98 Mustang GT on freaking Raceland coilovers. Let me just tell you right now, that thing rode like a dream.
Shut up.
I think one thing with that where it's like starting off in the car community and not having as much, I guess, knowledge as somebody who's in it for a while, we do make mistakes. We make mistakes in it where we're buying parts that we think are the shit, and then they're not. And it's something where we learn through it. We make the mistakes. But ultimately, that's one thing kind of we're here for in a way, where we get to share our past experiences with certain these things where it's like where Tyler bought Racelands for his 98 Mustang.
Maybe we could tell you not to do that.
Tell you, yeah. On a car that weighs more than 5,000 pounds, it's probably not a smart idea. Yeah. Yeah. It was a convertible, so it was even heavier than the regular one. So it was just all bad. But we do have a lot of insight to those things coming from people like Steven and I together who have built the same car multiple times.
Yeah,
I have three versions of my, almost four versions of my Genesis, and you have the equivalent in your GTI.
Yep. I've only built my cars once.
And then he sells them. What
but
a smart man.
I can
man.
Explain later. But yeah.
So with that being said, and like you only having built your cars once, Tyler having built his Genesis multiple times, now with his Cayman, myself with my GTI and the different versions, as well as the other cars I've built as well. One thing I would say that we all three have in common is we've all had air suspension on our vehicles.
This is true.
Currently, right?
Yep.
Currently.
All three of us currently.
Yeah. Small world.
Mm-hmm. And like with that said, first, Tyler, what was your reason on going air suspension? As that's kind of, I feel like a controversy that people go with is, why did you go air suspension? Why didn't you go coilovers?
Yeah, why'd you give up?
Yeah, I think you picked the two perfect people to sit at this table to ask this question because one is formerly, do you want to show that to the screen? Yeah. For the people who are only listening to this podcast, Alex Burley had a custom license plate that said anti-air.
And now I've had air on my last two cars.
But what got me to go into air actually is because my Genesis is still currently static. My Cayman was static and mm-hmm. recently gone to air. And my reasoning 100%, and I was diehard static. I'm going to keep this static. I want the ride quality. Yeah, static all the way, static till I die.
Same.
I literally commented that till the very post.
Don't get me wrong. Coilovers, like performance. Like,
yeah.
All in on that.
Even just not performance. Static guys, IMO. It's always going to be cooler. If it's done right, it's always going to be cooler than a bad car. Sorry.
When you're sitting as low, if not lower, than somebody who is bagged and they ask you,
is that on air?
Yeah.
Well, and with that, it's like not even just a low aspect of things where it's like if you could get a good performance meaty fitment with coilovers, I would take that any day.
Mm-hmm. 100%.
But going off what you were saying with how you kind of got into it and what your reasons were.
Yeah.
What was your main reason for going air suspension?
My main reason 100%. For those of you who don't know, I'm building a wide-body Cayman, wide-body Porsche Cayman. This kit sticks out so much further in the front that when it was static and I wanted to sit at the height that I wanted to sit, it was literally just going to be undrivable, especially because the front splitter and diffuser are, the whole splitter is carbon fiber. There's no way I was going to smash this kit on the ground, especially since it took...
With how much work you're putting into it?
No. And it took 11 months to get to me.
Yeah, I do not blame you at all.
So I went air, and it is much more drivable, and I can honestly say that I love it. The travel on that thing to get me in and out of driveways is absolutely insane. And I, coming from a hardcore coilover guy, I was really nervous about sacrificing performance and all this stuff. Mm-hmm. My packs ride great.
Oh yeah,
they handle awesome.
Yeah, I would say I was like, I mean, you guys probably don't want this title, but I would say I'm like the stance guy out of the group, and I was like,
you can have that.
Yeah, that's fine. Yeah, most people will give it to me. But I was anti bags because I was like, dude. Drive it how you park it. I have an interview somewhere else. I'm not going to say where to find where I talk a lot of shit about bags. but I would say I personally just think the static scene has kind of gone downhill over the years for a ton of different reasons. But then I never planned on getting air. But when I sold the Genesis and then I got an RC350, I planned that whole build to be like for daily purposes because I was at the time looking at jobs in like LA and like there's going to be a lot of travel involved. So I was like, little camber, need to be able to drive it wherever.
And if you're unaware, LA streets are not low car friendly whatsoever.
Yeah. Every city's not. Ooh.
Every city's
not. Every city's not low car friendly. But yeah, so I basically just did it for convenience on that car. And then honestly, now that I'm building the LC, the car's too nice to be static at the height that I would want it at. Because, like, I'd be down, but it would be so expensive because it would be this high off the ground, cracking stuff that I can't afford to replace.
Well, if it wasn't your daily driver, that would be a different story.
Yeah. Even not. Yeah. I kind of agree the same thing with the Cayman, that I feel like the parts, when they do break, are expensive.
Yeah. And it's not an FRS. It's not a Genesis.
And it's got,
and also, like, having a static car super low, you're bound to damage something underneath your car.
Oh yeah, it's just
it's 100%.
It's a given. Yeah.
There are little
fun part. Yeah. Like I enjoy that, and I definitely will build like another static car. But for now, it's bad life.
I think the difference from myself between you two is my first car, I went from stock suspension straight to bags. I didn't experience coilovers yet. I went straight to air suspension. Just because I want it to be low, I want it to air out, park slammed, but then also drive around low.
Just drive it like that.
Yeah.
Drive it like that. But then also having the practicality behind it in terms of having the height adjustment to get up, let's say, driveways and whatnot.
Yeah, convenience.
So that was kind of like the big thing with me is the convenience, given that it was my daily driver. Mm-hmm. It was something where I wanted to be slammed, but I wanted to be able to drive around anywhere I wanted to.
Yeah.
And then from there, I've always just kept the air suspension on the GTI. And then through other cars I've had, I've then experienced something static. I had an Audi A4 that I slammed pretty decently on the ground. And I still dailied that for some reason. And
wasn't it so much better, Steven?
Not really, because, Yeah, banging the frame is cool and all, but at the same time, I cringe every time I do it because, when it's a nicer car, it hurts a lot.
Hurts good.
Yeah.
It hurts good.
It hurts good.
I still enjoy scraping. Like, I don't know. It just, sometimes it's smarter to just make the sacrifice to do maybe what, not exactly what you want, but what's
And
best.
Also with the GTI with my giant front splitter on the car.
Yeah, that thing was huge.
It became pretty undrivable if I didn't have air suspension, to where even aired up, I was still scraping the splitter.
Yeah.
Going on driveways and whatnot. Like the video that you filmed three-wheeling out of that driveway.
Oh, yeah.
That was, that was interesting.
Do you know what's crazy with my air suspension, even aired up now? The chassis that I have in the Cayman is so stiff that it three-wheels –
Oh yeah,
so everywhere.
So does my LC. Yeah.
Everywhere, and it's like all the way aired up, and I'm like, I don't three wheel this hard in my Genesis.
No, I think we're about to see that change.
We are so
moving right into our current event.
I'm bust it into the current events here. Bag Riders.
Yep.
They're releasing a new product. I don't mean that in a bad way. Just
ultra
it's
low.
It's a new product.
Right. It's a low coilover. Okay, so Bag Riders. Very well shot commercial. If you haven't seen it, we suggest you go see it because it was great.
I think we can all agree. I was super stoked with how that came out.
It was great. But Bag Rider's claim to fame here with this product is that they have solved a problem inside the automotive community where people like myself and Alex Burley and Steven would love to drive their cars low on air suspension.
And not hit a bump and scrape everything when driving low.
Now, the problem
for
is...
For the people who don't know how to already set it up to do that.
Right. Now, the problem is with air suspension, you may be thinking it articulates from the ground all the way up. Why can't you just air it out a little bit and just drive it low? Well, you kind of think of your bag as a spring. When it's filled with air, it works almost like the spring rate. The more the air pressure is in there, the stiffer the spring is. So if you only have 20 PSI in that bag...
It's like a 2K spring.
It's like a 2K spring. It's going to be real bouncy. And it's also not good for your really expensive dampeners that you paid for with your air struts. So if you're going to ride that low and blow them out and... I don't know, a couple months, it's going to be $6,000-$7,000 that you just put in the trash can.
Because honestly, the general basis of air suspension is the dampers are designed to pretty much drive at mid-stroke, which is going to be the general drive height, which is not that super low height.
Yeah, it's usually like a fistful of wheel
cap.
Yeah,
definitely. Now, the way that Bag Riders is going to achieve this is with making a smaller bag. Now, there's a couple things that people have pointed out. I don't know if you want to talk about it, Steven.
It looks like a bag over strut.
It looks like a bag over coilover.
Like this standard thing that's been around for forever.
Which, the bag over coilover has been around forever. And then it's been tested and everything like that. What I'm kind of excited to see out of it is what will differentiate their setup versus what's already been done in the past.
Yeah.
Why is it going to be different? Why is it going to handle better? Why is it this super low bag setup that is going to handle great when driving low? And what separates it from what's been done in the past? Because it has been done in the past, especially with...
Right. I was going to lead into that because their claim to fame is that they're the only low driving...
The first.
The first.
Yeah, quote unquote, the first. And quote unquote, wrong. Sorry. There was a company, or there is a company, that did it a long, long time ago called T-Demand, but...
They solved the problem differently.
Yeah, they use triple bellows, and all the magic is in the valving and all that kind of stuff.
Hold on, let's explain what triple bellows are. It's the shape of the bag. So, it kind of looks like three...
Pillows,
I guess you could say, stacked on top of each other.
If you know what a double bellow is, add one more. If you know what a circle looks like, just stack them on top of each other. That's what it looks like. But yeah, they solved the problem a long time ago, except their list of cars that are made for those struts, very short. A lot of Lexuses are...
It's pretty much like only Lexus.
Yeah, that's their main like demographic. And the struts are like $10,000. So a lot of people don't want to pay that, and that's where I think this Bag Rider's strut is going to fit in perfectly.
Be an affordable, cost-effective thing for people to do it, and I'm very interested to see it hit the streets, quite literally.
Yeah, it's going to be cool seeing how many different models and chassis that this this product fits into. Just based off of the initial kits that they released, high variety. I believe it's like the BRZ Tesla Model 3 and then a couple others, but they're going to be reeling out all these different models to pretty much pertain to the masses.
Right. Yep. The one thing that I can hear right now people saying, if you're looking at a picture of this bag, because I'm sure we're going to put this on the screen, if you're listening to this podcast, we advise that you look it up when you go home. You should have already watched the commercial, like we said, because it's great. But the setup that they got going on right now is they are achieving this by making a smaller bag, which is going to sacrifice lift.
Yeah, which could be a big problem, but we won't know until we see. Because if it's like...
It might be a problem, but then to some people, it might not mind. So it in a way, it's fixing a problem. Arguably,
the bag in general is supposed to have lift, right? That's the whole purpose.
And at what point, if you're sacrificing so much lift, at what point do you just go, oh, I'll get air cups?
Or just be static.
Yeah, exactly. Like, literally, in my opinion, if you're going that out of your way to buy those bags, just get some coilovers, bro. But I'm excited to compare it between something like T-Demand, where my LC500 is full T-Demand currently. And, like, when I got those struts, I knew they were nice, and I heard all the hype and whatever. But driving on them, I was like, oh, I didn't know, like, this tech was already out. Like, these actually do ride like coilovers, like, at a variety of pressures. Like, it's crazy.
And that's honestly a common misconception that people don't realize, and it's been done, where people have been converting coilovers to back setups for years and years now. Yeah. That's how people convert OEM struts to air setups. They're taking the OEM struts and actually converting it. Yeah. So it's been done for a while, and the common misconception behind it is people don't realize, like, 80% of the suspension fuel comes from the shock.
Yeah, yeah, it's not the bag itself.
Not from the spring.
Or the spring.
Yeah. It comes from the shock itself, and then the 20% is based off what your spring rate is. Mm-hmm. And matching spring rate can be somewhat achieved by your pressure in the bag because it's air sprung.
Yeah. And, like, coming from someone where my Genesis had, like, 36K springs all around, or whatever.
Yeah, something ridiculous.
Something around there. Not compared to today. People are putting, like, I don't know, dude. Weigh your cars. Get the spring that's, like, measured for that weight.
Like 80 or 90
K. Yeah, don't just throw 50 like... Ks on for no reason. You look stupid. But hey,
might as well just put hockey pucks in there at that point.
Well, washers are welded. Yeah. People have welded their struts.
I've seen that.
And it's like, yeah, yikes. That you're losing.
That's a whole nother
full drivability of your car. Yeah, but yeah.
Well, you can drive it.
You can drive it. It's just not sick. Pretty much.
I'll see you at the chiropractor.
From, yeah, coming from, like, someone who had the 36K springs and then riding on, like, these T-Demand struts, it is, like, not far off, surprisingly. Like, you would think, like, oh, it rides like coilovers, it rides like 8K springs. No, like, they can ride, like, 30Ks. It's crazy.
So you've been, this is your second set of bags. Yeah. You've had plenty of bags you put on multiple cars.
Yep.
This is my first time putting bags on a car, and on the Cayman in particular, it felt kind of sacrilegious to do that because the car is known for handling performance. And that's why I was kind of stayed away from it for so long. And I can honestly say when I put the kit on this car, I was very pleasantly surprised.
What struts do you have?
They're called Sika.
Oh, okay.
But they're rebranded from True. I don't know.
True Hard or something.
Yeah, True Air Force. Something like that.
Oh,
yeah.
True Racing Force?
I don't know.
Gotcha.
But, they're rebranded, and they feel great.
Mm-hmm.
Feel absolutely amazing. And I was very pleasantly surprised. Now, I kind of want to relate that back to bag riders, is I'm very interested is how much R&D did they do in the strut design to drive that low?
Yeah. Well, babe, go for it. Well, based off the commercial and like seeing them testing the shock on the machine and everything like that, yeah, I could agree on that. Where it's like I really want to see the performance aspect of this setup because if it's gonna perform great, I definitely see it as beneficial as long as it could provide me enough lift.
Yeah.
Because if it's gonna be not enough lift and it's gonna just raise me to where my drive height would normally be,
right,
that's not enough.
Yeah,
need a little bit more than that.
That's where those triple bellows come in, because you're like, oh, I maxed out the double height, I got a whole nother one to go.
One thing I kind of want to test out is coilovers with it instead of an air cup, a bag cup.
Oh,
but that's for another day.
That's another conversation.
That's for another day. So So with that being said, we're going to move into the last portion of the show, and that's called Late Night Callouts, where we're going to pick a person that we want to feature on the show.
People, brands, things in the automotive space that we just vibe with.
Cars, exactly. Builds, anything that we just think maybe needs or deserves a little extra,
extra love.
Yeah. Exactly. Never hurts.
So
yeah.
Tyler.
So I'd like to start my segment off by shouting out, this is a person. His name is Denzel at 323_Evo. He has a Varus Time Attack Super Taikyu Evo, and it's like full wide body, full carbon fiber. I believe only has one of the only Varus carbon fiber wings for this kit, and it's everything about this build is awesome. I love it. It's built by the same shop that kind of helped me tune my car. Sam from Road Race Engineering tuned his car. It makes 600 horsepower, I believe. The thing is absolutely awesome, and it's the only Super Taikyu wide body kit for an Evo that I've seen in person. They're super rare, super hard to come by, and honestly, if you guys are listening, if you guys are watching this on the screen, I encourage you to go check him out, because my boy, he doesn't have a ton of people following him, and I think his build deserves more. And not only that, the guy has like four other cars that he's actively building too, which is like a Time Attack Civic that's absolutely bonkers. So
that's sick. Do you want to rent it to me?
Check it out. Yeah.
That's sick.
Yeah. What about you, Steven?
Yeah, who do you mess
going
with,
going off Steven? That, like one thing you said where it's like, Denzel doesn't have any followers, or he's not like a top guy in the social media world. My pick as well, same situation. His name's Jack. He's over in the UK. His Instagram name is Jackie Boy, and he has a cool GTI. It's a Mark 6. A lot of custom work into the car. Full custom molded wide body kit on it, and then he also took Mark 7.5 front and rear bumpers and grafted them onto his Mark 6 bumpers. So overall, super cool car, a lot of custom work into it, very unique, and I feel like it just needs to get more out there, more attention to it, given that it's a little bit more of a refined build, given that it's a clean molded wide body, nothing like crazy aggressive lines.
Well, subtle.
But it's super wide, and it's super clean, a lot of custom work, and just wanted to give it more love.
Hell yeah.
Definitely mess with that, and I'm like super interested to see the build now.
Yeah, that looks sick. You guys know these guys' names and everything. I just know this dude from TikTok, kind of. Stiff_XSE, I think, is just the most creative thing I've seen in a long time. Literally, brand new Corolla. It's hard to describe. It's almost like new school Bozuzoku style, or almost like Shackleton Racer.
Gotcha. Mix,
sick, like just very well researched, period correct kind of stuff on a car that is like
brand new,
so out of the ordinary for that style. I love it. Looks so sick. Just that's my type of small wheel style stuff.
Shout out to everybody that we just highlighted right now. And we look forward to doing this in the future to just keep giving people attention that we really kind of vibe with.
You know? It doesn't hurt to be nice, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. And so with that being said, we'll close out this episode.
Yeah, we're going to be doing these weekly,
right?
And kind of try to pump out some more interesting topics for you guys.
Right. So if you guys liked this podcast and you're watching it on YouTube, comment down below, let us know, give us all a follow on all of our social medias. It'll be here on the screen. If you're listening to this podcast, give it a thumbs up. I think that helps.
I mean, yeah, like it, I guess.
Give us some love.
Keep coming back.
If you don't
we appreciate
like it.
You.
Yeah. If you don't like it, DM me and tell me why.
Yeah. Yep. Again.
Honestly, we're open to critique as well.
Yeah,
it's something where we're new to this, and it's something where we're going to be growing and progressing as time goes on. If you have anything, insights to say of opinions on what you think,
we're here to make the best show possible for you guys, not for us. So
Yep.
Let us know.
Definitely. We are the Late Night Motor Club podcast.
With that being said,
peace. Cool. We're out of here.
Later.